Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, The Remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, June 28, 2021. Chief spies from the East African region are meeting in Juba to discuss the effects of sanctions.
Because the situation we are in of war, sanction, it is only in Africa, not anywhere. And it emanated from all of us, not from anybody. We have been misused throughout our ages.
And a senior health official in Juba says COVID-19 vaccinations is progressing well in some states in South Sudan.
I'm happy to tell you that out of the 60,000 doses, we have now deployed 46,320 doses as of today.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. 'Security chiefs from the East African region are meeting in the South Sudanese capital Juba to discuss what they call the negative impact of sanctions on the region. Speaking at the start of the two-day event, South Sudan's Minister for National Security called on the security chiefs to strengthen their regional efforts against sanctions by other countries. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Around a dozen top security officials from countries within the East African region are attending the workshop organized by the African Union Committee on Intelligence and Security Services. According to a document obtained by South Sudan in Focus, the objective of the event is to create and sharpen awareness on the negative impact of sanctions regimes on socioeconomic development, integration efforts, political relations, and peace and security cooperation in the East African region. It's also aimed at exchanging experiences and lessons learned and best practices on effective policy options, including analysis of existing sanctions regimes and the extent to which they impact the region. South Sudan Security Minister Obutu Mamur says the workshop should be a cornerstone for Africans to jointly tackle the issue of imposed sanctions on African nations.
Because the situation we are in of war, sanction, it is only in Africa, not anywhere. And it emanated from all of us, not from anybody. We have been misused throughout our ages against our own interests. For example, especially the East African community.
Mamur called on East African countries to unite and work together to address sanctions imposed on them.
The sanction and whatever it is coming from us because we are fragmented. We are not together. That's one of the core issues within ourselves. If you allow your brother to be sanctioned, you yourself will be sanctioned tomorrow. Another one will be sanctioned. Where is Africa here? Where are you going? Where are you going? What is the future generation going to have out of our behavior? I want you critically to analyze the core of our problem.
According to the African Union, the forum was also formed to discuss the challenges that governments and regional organizations face as a result of sanctions and to explore ways of fostering collaboration with international actors and the UN body to highlight the negative impact of sanctions regimes. The AU says what it calls misguided imposition of sanctions has the potential to prolong conflict in the East African region and create a fertile environment for the emergence of a new conflict. Simon Yen Makwach, the Director General for External Security at the South Sudan's Security Ministry, says the workshop provides an opportunity for the region to strengthen its collaboration on socioeconomic and political issues, as well as peace and stability.
Sanctions are likely growing as a foreign policy tool and political instrument of the Western power to advance their strategic interests, whereas their popularity is growing. Their efficacy, along with moral obligation, have caused substantial suffering to many vulnerable groups across the globe.
The African Union says sanctions that have been imposed on South Sudan by the United Kingdom, United States, and Canada, and most recently the renewal of an arms embargo by the United Nations Security Council on South Sudan, threatens stakeholders' efforts to sustainable peace and stability, as well as reconstruction and economic revival. Mamour called on political leaders in the region to work together in confronting foreign policies, including the imposition of sanctions that weaken member states.
You discuss openly as brothers and sisters and come with a solution, and we must stand together. When you are fragmented, you become weak. But when you are united, no one can tempt you.
The African Union Committee of Intelligence and Security Services says the sanctions regime and arms embargo further undermines a country's rights to exercise its sovereignty and to defend its territorial integrity. The committee says such actions are nothing more than punitive and coercive measures to achieve political and economic objectives, which run counter to genuine efforts to end the conflict and transition to a new, peacefully all-inclusive political dispensation. In late May, the UN Security Council passed a resolution extending an arms embargo on South Sudan for another year, along with a travel ban and financial sanctions for targeted individuals. Russia, China, and South Africa abstained from the vote. The U.S. drafted resolution welcomed encouraging developments in South Sudan's peace process, including the beginning stages of the formation of a transitional government. At the same time, it noted deep concern at continued fighting in South Sudan. It also condemned violations of the Revitalized Peace Agreement and Cessation of Hostilities Agreement. The audio used in this story was obtained from South Sudanese journalist Oyete Patrick. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still in Juba, the Director General for Preventive Health at the National Ministry of Health says South Sudanese are responding to the campaign to encourage people to get COVID-19 vaccines. Dr. John Rumono, who is also the country's acting COVID-19 case manager, says residents in Western Bahr al-Ghazal, Western Equatorial State, and Yei County are asking for more supplies of vaccines.
We received vaccines in March. We received 132,000 doses. We started vaccination in the first week of April. And in May, due to some challenges when we saw that the deployment of vaccines was slow, we banked 72,000 doses back to COVAX facility. That means we return it, but it will come back because we are not sure whether we will finish all the 132,000 doses or not. So we remain with 60. John, I'm happy to tell you that out of the 60,000 doses, we have now deployed 46,320 doses as of today. And the vaccine remaining is 13,680. We are confident that before the expiry date comes, we will be able to deploy all the remaining 13,680,000, because we are deploying over 1,000 doses a day, and we are having like around 20 days remaining. So we are doing fine.
You are left with 20 days to complete vaccinations before the vaccines expire. How many people have received their first and second doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine in South Sudan?
Out of these 46,320 doses deployed, we have 3,544 first dose and 2,776 doses as second. Now, we are vaccinating both first and second dose up to 18th of July, when the date of the expiry of vaccine. But we are sure that it will not even reach that day.
Talk to me about the turnouts at some of the centers for vaccinations. We reported about low turnouts at centers in Juba. How is the overall turnout around the country?
We are talking about all over the country. We have we are deploying the vaccines in all the 10 in 34 counties and 78 facilities. People are turning up for vaccination, surely. Of course, vaccinating 45,000 doses means people have come for those doses, John. It differs from one center to another. Actually, some centers are asking for more vaccines, you know. We are now trying to see who is doing well and who is not doing well, and trying to share vaccine from centers which are not having good uptake to the centers which are having high uptake.
Talk to us about your experiences at these centers. Which centers are doing well and which centers are not doing well in terms of turnouts?
We have states like Western Bahr al-Ghazal is doing very, very, very well. Western Equatoria is doing well. Yei is doing well. All of them are shouting, give us more vaccines. And one state I have off-head that is ready to redeploy their vaccine to other location is Jonglei State.
What are the fears of South Sudanese or people who are, you know, afraid to take the COVID-19 vaccines?
We are using AstraZeneca, and AstraZeneca has been given emergency license, EUL, emergency use license by WHO. And WHO has clearly indicated that it is safe and it is also efficacious. So it has met all the required safety and efficacy. Of course, there are so many information out there in social media, but we always tell people that we are using AstraZeneca has been approved by WHO for emergency use, and it has met safety and efficacy requirements.
How many cases of side effects of AstraZeneca have been recorded in South Sudan so far?
I want to just clarify one thing. Side effect is something which is bound to happen, because when you receive a vaccine, body reacts to it. So you can get pain at the site of vaccination, or you can get some symptoms of body reaction to the vaccine. You may have headache, you slight fever, and things like that. So far, we don't have any worrying adverse effect of concern.
Dr. John Rumonu, I have to admit, I also completed my two doses of COVID-19 vaccinations, and I'm still alive talking to you here. What would you tell South Sudanese who are still doubting the effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines?
Yeah, I will say from the beginning of the pandemic, South Sudan has managed two waves. And in every wave, you have increase in number of people who got infected. And of course, a number of deaths. So we are happy that up to now we don't have a third wave, but there is a third wave in the region. And therefore, I advise people to take the opportunity of availability of vaccines to get their jab. These vaccines help in many ways. It helps you to avoid infection. It reduces, severity of infection. And it also reduces hospitalization rate. So it is very, very important for our people to go and have their vaccination.
That's Dr. John Rumunu, Director General for Preventive Health at the National Ministry of Health. He spoke with me from Juba earlier today. Still on COVID, scientists in charge of South Africa's response to COVID-19 say the intense third wave of the virus is being driven mostly by the Delta variant, first identified in India. This particular mutation, they say, results in more people being hospitalized, but South Africa's health facilities are already full of patients struggling to survive coronavirus. It's the nation on the continent worst hit by COVID-19 with almost 2 million infections and nearly 60,000 deaths. For VOA News, Darren Taylor has more.
With only a small percentage of people vaccinated, there's a tangible sense of panic in South Africa's health sector.
People who need oxygen and who need admission and ventilation for COVID are being managed at home because there aren't even beds, and that's also in private practice. It's not only in the public setting.
Professor Dania Ballot is clinical head of four of the country's biggest public hospitals, all in Johannesburg. She told VOA that health caregivers are not coming close to coping because of a huge influx of patients. She says their suffering is worsened by regular power and water cuts.
A person who needs admission for COVID sit for 3 days at Helen Joseph on a chair in casualty in oxygen with no water to be able to wash in and waiting for a hospital bed, and there was no ventilator bed if they needed it.
Professor Tulio da Oliveira is a scientist who sequences viruses. He says several variants are circulating in South Africa, especially Delta, which continues to cause many thousands of deaths around the world. In a Zoom briefing to journalists this weekend, da Oliveira said Delta's now in about 85 countries and is responsible for 95% of infections in the United Kingdom, for example.
In Africa, it seems to be very widespread also, with many sites in Southern Africa, East Africa, Central Africa, and West Africa. So not only this variant seems to be spreading very fast, but it's very quick to start dominating potentially the global pandemic.
Da Oliveira describes the Delta mutation as by far the most concerning so far.
It is really, really highly transmissible, more than all other variants, including the one in South Africa, Beta. It is calculated that it's potentially double more transmissible than the original virus, yeah?
He says there's no evidence yet that Delta is deadlier than other variants, but it causes more fatalities simply because it infects more people. Da Oliveira says Delta also results in more people being reinfected with COVID-19. Infectious diseases specialist Dr. Richard Lessels says there's evidence to suggest that Delta causes different symptoms than other variants.
Certainly in the UK at the moment, the most prominent symptoms are headache, sore throat, runny nose, and sneezing. And what's less prominent are some of the symptoms that we previously highlighted, like loss of taste, loss of smell, fever. These are the kind of symptoms that we should still be looking out for on top of all the normal symptoms of fever, cough, shortness of breath.
But with the rise of Delta in South Africa and elsewhere, says Lessels, there's some good news. The two vaccines being used in the UK, where the variant is particularly prevalent, namely AstraZeneca and Pfizer, are very effective against Delta.
There are very high levels of protection, above 90% protection against hospitalization once you've had the two doses. And even with the first dose, there are very high levels of protection with this Delta variant.
However, South Africa isn't using AstraZeneca since it doesn't work well enough against the Beta variant first found in the country late last year. Pfizer is part of its vaccination program, but stocks extremely limited at the moment. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at the struggle against COVID-19 around the globe. That story is coming up right after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your biggest regret?
There was a time I beat up my son to the level that he cannot even stand up. So I really pity him, and then I regretted what I did, honestly. And then since then, I have never tried again.
My biggest regret is when I lost my first wife in 2015, 12 June. But thank God, God has given me another beautiful wife.
I don't have any regret. I have actually tuned myself to know that everything that happens in life is for a purpose.
I can't say I've got a biggest regret, but it's all about challenges. I was able to learn from it and manage it so that everything will go smoothly.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Great Britain has seen a peak in the number of new coronavirus infections, reaching levels not seen since February this year. AFP Karen Chalmers reports.
Over the past week, almost 100,000 people tested positive. That's a 50% increase from the week before. Government scientists consider the new strain to be 40 to 80% more transmissible than the previous dominant strain. It accounts for nearly all the new cases in the UK. Karen Chalmers, London.
Still on COVID, infectious disease experts are considering whether Johnson & Johnson one-dose coronavirus vaccine may require a booster shot from rival pharmaceutical companies to cope with contagious Delta variant. Some say they have already given themselves a booster, even without data on whether it's safe to do so. Reuters' Matthew LaRotunda reports.
The group includes Andy Slavitt, a former senior pandemic advisor to President Biden. Some of those experts say they've already given themselves a booster, despite a lack of data on whether it's safe to do so. Reuters spoke with Jason Gallagher, an infectious disease expert at Temple University, who combined his Johnson & Johnson shot with a dose of the Pfizer vaccine. He says he's concerned over studies from the United Kingdom that show single doses aren't as effective at fighting the Delta variant, which was originally found in India and has spread rapidly. At least half a dozen prominent experts say the issue needs to be addressed and quickly. The UK studies show that two doses of the Pfizer, BioNTech, and AstraZeneca vaccines are significantly more effective against the Delta variant than one dose. The Moderna vaccine is also being trialed as a possible booster by the US government.
That's all we prepared for you tonight. We now leave you with Kennedy singing in his native Kakwa song about marriage. Been listening to Kennedy singing in Kakwa language about marriage. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.